Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Straight Wives Talk Show. This is Bonnie Kay. And on this Easter day, we have a wonderful show lined up for you. This is a hard-hitting show that discusses the complexities of marriages between straight women to gay men, bisexual men, transgender men. And each week, my guests and I discuss issues that affect over 4 million women in this country and millions more around the world who find themselves unknowingly married to a gay or bisexual or transgender man. I'm adding in transgender because I'm getting more and more letters lately from women who are in this situation. If you have any questions you would like to ask my guest tonight or address me with, if you could please send me a note at my email address at bonkay@aol.com. That's bonkaye@aol.com. And before I introduce my special guest for tonight, I just want to remind people how excited I am because in 2 weeks from now, it's going to be our healing weekend. And this is a weekend that I've been planned for the last year. Women are coming from all over the country to this particular event where women who have gay husbands can meet others in this situation and have that kind of camaraderie and understanding that it's very hard to find anywhere else. The event is taking place in Philadelphia, and we can always fit in a couple people last minute. So if you are interested and you're hearing this announcement and you would like to come, please let me know by dropping me a line at bonkay@aol.com. That's bonkaye@aol.com. Tonight I have a very special guest that I'd like to introduce, Ms. Pamela Adams Gifford. And I actually have had the pleasure of actually meeting Pamela in person one-on-one. And I'm so excited that she's going to be with us tonight because she's also going to be at our healing weekend, helping our women with her workshops on healing. So just to introduce Pamela a little bit and tell you about her. Pamela is a registered nurse and instructor in yoga, Pilates, Tai Chi, and Kwai Gong. She also teaches yin yoga, and she's certified in therapeutic yoga. Pamela's been teaching a long time, and she's taught over 3,000 classes in all these combined disciplines. And also, she's a certified holistic health coach with the Health Coach Institute, which is really impressive. So Pamela is here to really make us feel better about ourselves, because as you all know, when we go through the strain that we go through in these marriages, it leaves us with a lot of emotional and physical problems. So without further ado, Pamela, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much, Bonnie. I'm so grateful to be here, and I can't thank you enough to be able to spend this time with you and with your listeners.
Oh, thank you so much, Pamela. You said tonight you'd be willing to start off the show by giving some breathing exercises, because people do suffer from terrible anxiety at the end of each day. So is that something you could just start with?
Oh, yes, I'd love to. So depending on where people are, if they're driving, certainly the rules will be a little bit different. But I want you to just, hopefully, if you're just sitting comfortably in a chair, just scan and take in your environment. Hopefully, you're in a very safe and secure place where you can feel calm or begin to feel calm. If you feel comfortable, you can close your eyes. Feel the chair beneath you. Feel your feet on the earth. Drop into your breath. Just begin to deepen the breath. Deeply connect with that rise and fall of the breath. Breath is like water. It comes in waves. So let's make it smooth and comfortable and flowing. Let's take two more beautiful breaths. And now we're coming into a more centered and grounded place. So that's just a little way that you can help yourself at the end of a hard day. Anytime you need it, it's right there and available for you. How is that, Bonnie?
Boy, I was ready to fall asleep here, Pamela. That's the only problem I have with you. You relax
okay,
me so
not,
much.
That's not the answer I wanted.
No, I felt so good. I felt just so wow, because I've had a stressful day today. And I thought,
okay,
boy, I really need this breathing exercise. And I'm like, oh, I feel so good. No, that was wonderful. Thank you very much. You know, I don't think people realize the importance of breath and, you know, taking deep breaths when you are stressed out and how it can really start turning things around. I certainly am familiar with that strategy for a long time. And there's so many wonderful different strategies in everything that you do as far as physical health and being a health coach. I know that you work with women on all different disciplines, so maybe you could talk a little bit about that.
Talk about, you know, ways that, you know, different strategies.
First of all, talk about what you do as far as, you know, all the different disciplines that you teach.
Well, all the different disciplines I teach, what I think the commonality in them is just a foundation of getting still. So we're quieting ourselves and we're becoming more aware of our surroundings and anchoring to the present moment. And so whether you're moving with that, and I call all of the, obviously, yoga and Tai Chi and Qigong are all moving meditations, but even if you don't practice them, you can practice that stillness. When we've come into this situation of finding out that our husband is gay, it really takes away our foundation, and it takes away our breath. We can't catch our breath. We can't feel that ground underneath our feet because everything, it feels like the rug's been pulled out from under us. So what all the disciplines that I teach, the commonality, and I teach Pilates as well, and with the health coaching, is this journeying back to yourself, to your true nature, and trying to diffuse this stress that is external in the world, and certainly in our situation of, again, being married to a gay husband or gay spouse. It's so important to build this self-care for ourselves.
So has this been an important part of your life as you were going through ending your marriage and going through the ends of your marriage?
Oh, very much so. I basically had a meditation practice, which everyone has their own way of coming to healing, so it doesn't have to always be the same thing. But I had my strong teaching yoga to me is a great foundation that keeps me grounded, as is the meditation practice. And I really think feel that without it, I would have been lost.
Mm-hmm.
Because my situation, as with everyone else, was very, very, it almost broke me. And it certainly affected me physically and emotionally and even, you know, in every way.
Pamela, could you talk a little bit about that, how when you're having emotional upheaval in your life, how that does affect you physically?
Yeah, I think that some people forget about the mind-body connection, and the emotions are really anchored in your mind, is we just stopped taking care of ourselves. Maybe we were always a caretaker, but it really, really gets even more out of control. Perhaps we can't sleep well. Maybe we are having trouble eating and digesting our food. It just affects, and we can't catch our breath, and it's feels as if we can't catch our breath. And that living in that high state of anxiety all the time is then a whole cycle that's going to make repeat the other thing. Then you can't sit to your meal and digest your food. You can't sleep. And so it just circles and circles and circles.
So there's a direct correlation between emotional stress and physical health, right?
Oh, absolutely, because really when we need to eat, we really need to eat in a relaxed and calm state. And I can speak to it myself that that wasn't happening for me. And in a way, we're trying to stand back and avoid what we're feeling, but we can't. We're trapped in that, in this maelstrom of all this emotion, of betrayal and disappointment and heartbreak, and it just prevents us from living our life and eating, moving, resting. All of these things are integral for your health, and not just your physical health. They're all tied in together.
Would you be able to share a little bit about your own personal story with our listeners?
Yes, I would love to do that. Pivotal thing that happened, which again, maybe other people can really identify with, is the way I found out that my husband was gay. I always had a problematic marriage, no intimacy, no communication, but I never knew why. And he basically hit my daughter and threw her down on the bed and blamed me, said it was for my honor. And that's what started the spiral of my finding out. It prevented me from going on a trip to take more yoga training. And the bottom line was that His boyfriend called our home. He thought I was away. He didn't get the memo that I was not. And he spoke to me. He thought it was my husband answering the phone. And I knew in that moment everything changed, and I knew. And I really haven't ever deviated from that. But then all other things trickled in very slowly over long periods of time about little red flags that happened. And so I was able to piece it together. And it was just, it has been a very long, long journey that I've been going through, and I'm still not divorced. So just one step at a time.
It's really hard when you have someone who makes you feel like you're imagining everything and throws it on you that whatever you're seeing or whatever you're hearing is all in your imagination. I have somebody right now dealing with that who wrote to me tonight, you know, one of our members who I love very much. And, you know, she's saying things for what they are, but she was lost for so long because these men are so good at confusing you. When they lied to you, did you feel that way also?
Oh, absolutely, because he, as your term that you use, because I listen to your radio show, the gaslighting, he uses that all the time, still does. And yes, and I did doubt myself even after that initial revelation, because part of me didn't want to believe it was true, and he has never, he vehemently denies, he screams, he yells, he jumps up and down. So I'm not getting any level of confirmation from him. In fact, he's, you know, I can't even take him kicking and screaming to the altar of giving me any release, any ability to heal with this by knowing, you know, by having him talk to me about it, that's not happening.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so.
I think that puts so much more, you know, I think that once women know the truth, because their husbands can be honest with them, as painful as it is, at least you can start healing. But when you're living with someone, and I think the majority of our women are in this situation where they're not getting a confession, where they're not getting the truth, where they're not being told what's really going on, and it's turned back at them that the problems in the marriage are their fault, that, you know, you're the one with the problem, not me, you know, I'm not unhappy in the marriage, you are, and once again, putting everything on the woman, it just is very overwhelming as far as, you know, your emotional sense of well-being. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely, and then again, that emotional upheaval that they keep you in prevents you from taking care of yourself at any level, and so it spills right over into your physical body. And I'm blessed because after a very long period of time, over 2 years, I was able to move out of the I was basically forced out, otherwise I could have stayed and dealt with it, but I moved out of the house, and that has been a very positive thing for me. I'm certainly not fully healed, but it has significantly helped me to not be in his presence on a day-by-day, minute-by-minute time frame.
I think maybe that's the hardest thing of all, that when you have to be with someone where you don't belong with that person, and it's so debilitating on a daily basis. I know that I had a reader send me a letter to my newsletter that I'll be reprinting, and she talked about, you know, how long she's been in her marriage, and she wrote it, the bottom part of her line was this, of her letter, she said, "What I really want to share is my healing, the start of a new life. While I'm not able to keep a job yet, I know I'll be able to recover emotionally one day and not get so depressed. I hope to go back to school full time, trying to figure out how to swing that and take care of the boys. More importantly, each year I'm free, I grow in grace, a grace beauty. People were happy for me when I left. It was so rare to hear, and I'm sorry. Most people celebrated and said it's about time. Plus, I still get compliments on how great I look. Go figure. My inside pain apparently showed to everyone. I no longer look worn out, scared, and tired. It just goes to show that the weight of being in a marriage based on their lives to themselves and those around them is not just a heavy burden. It's damaging inside and out. Unless they can be honest and seek help, it's better not to stay. After 18 years of trying, not I nor the church could help me. I'm still grateful for the support and pray your readers will be blessed. And the bottom line is this. I can testify that sticking it out with someone who can't accept their sexuality isn't worth it. And it's so true. Like she was saying, it really takes everything out of you that people can see your unhappiness. People can see, you know, even though you're trying to hide it, they can see it on you, right?
Oh, absolutely. And I have a very strong community. Not that they necessarily know, but my community of yoga students, Tai Chi and Qigong students are really my foundation. And yes, they can tell. They can tell and they ask me what's going on. They can see the distress, not necessarily reflected in my teaching, but the minute I let my guard down around that, they know.
Mm-hmm.
And they know and honor me as their teacher. So, but yeah, there really is no hiding. You may think you can put on a game face, but really you can't. And you shouldn't.
And it affects the whole family environment. You know, once there's toxic waste in the environment, it just spreads. Wouldn't you say so, to the children, to the other members of the family? It's like, you know, poison waters and they're spreading. You know, it's not just staying stagnant in one place. It starts spreading out to the other family members, to children, to parents. Would you say that's pretty much true?
Oh, yeah. In my experience, it's very true. And my child even came to me at one point before I did explore, and I had to tell her with the help of the therapist what was going on in the household. But she even said it to me before I was ready to do that. So really there is, as I say, there's no hiding. It's affecting everyone, and it affects the children very, very severely. Even if you think that you're pretending or you're hiding or you're keeping that from them, they have a sense of it.
I think they can always tell when a parent isn't happy. And
yes.
A lot of times they take that upon themselves and they take that responsibility. Because I think they internalize the unhappiness and they feel they have something to do with it, which is not the case at all. But if they don't know what is causing it, then they have no other choice but to think that they are the cause of the unhappiness. So
that's so true.
Right?
Yeah, it's so true. Yeah.
That's why these relationships are really toxic in more ways than one. You know, it's not just a marriage between two people. There's a lot of ripples for family, children, parents, and all this ripples down to it. And really, you know, these men cannot accept responsibility for what they're doing to us, and they'll do everything to go out of their way to try to make sure that, you know, they get whatever they can. It's like we're trying to take something away from them that's theirs, not realizing how much they've taken away from us. And that's why I'm so excited that coming up starting in May, we're starting our Straight Wives Matter campaign. You know, I'm waiting till after our healing weekend, but I'm going full force ahead on that. I've had some wonderful responses from women in our network that they want to work on this, and they're ready to get going on it. And we will be going on it, that straight wives need to get that recognition of what they've gone through and not be minimized. And I don't think people understand the emotional upheaval we go through. Maybe you could talk a little bit about that.
I think the focus has been for so long around the person who is closeted or whether they're, you know, the man who is gay, and for him, he had to get married because there was so many societal pressures. But I just can't understand that. I think that women have deal with so much, and to have the blow of, on top of feeling closeted with your husband, that you can't, when you choose to speak of it, not have any recognition or somebody saying, I feel your pain, or I try to understand how that must feel. There's not a lot of knowledge or foundation around that. They just don't get it. Bottom line,
mm-mm.
They don't get it.
No, and they won't get it because they're not thinking in a straight manner. And I really do believe there's thought waves going on there. I'm not saying they're bad thought waves. I'm just saying they don't understand thought waves, that they can't understand what the damage here is. And I know a lot of times these men become very resentful and angry at us because they feel they're trapped by us, even though they set the trap themselves. You know, they knowingly trapped us. We didn't knowingly go into that trap with them. We had all the hopes and excitement. I mean, I'm sure you loved your husband very much when you married him, right?
I certainly did, and to some level I still do. Not certainly mm-hmm. the person he really is. It just becomes, there's just a basis of love around the fact that I entered the marriage honestly and authentically, and I brought my full self into it, raising my own children, his children, and then we had a child together. So yes, I loved him, and I showed up for the marriage. And then what I realized over time, as he wouldn't be intimate with me and he wouldn't communicate with me, I didn't understand why. And I've been married for a very long time. I'm still unfortunately married. It's been 18 years. And I made myself crazy trying to understand why I never understood it. I could never understand what was going on. And so when you say straight wives matter, hell yes, they do.
I know. I think we're really so understated and so minimized by society, and that people view us as, oh, sure you didn't know, or, oh, he wasn't gay when you married him, or, oh, what did you do that made him gay? You know, why weren't you more involved with him? Why weren't you more supportive? You know, they listen to all these stories that these men give, and they think that we're the ones who were the, you know, ogres who created this situation when it had absolutely nothing to do with us. And the way we're portrayed, even, it's just, you know, in the movies, you know, sad, pathetic women who should have known better, who had loads of red flags that we didn't see waving in our face, where we were desperate, you know, straight wives, and we wanted somebody to marry us. I mean, this is some of the preconceived notions that people have about straight wives, and that image isn't really changing, which is why we're going to have to start changing it. But have you ever had any of those kind of responses to you when you told people?
Oh, yes. I've had people, even people who are fairly close to me, question, you know, because they want to see the smoking gun. They want to hear that. They want you to prove it to them when, thank goodness, through this journey, I've been able to move away from that. I don't have to prove it to anybody. And I do make it an active thing that if I meet people, especially outside of my circle, if they ask me truly about myself, I tell them what I'm experiencing as a way, it's a way of healing for me, but there's more to it than that. It's a way of spreading this information that you're talking about. That this does occur, that gay men knowingly marry straight women, and the fact that straight wives matter in this equation is just not about, oh, the poor man he had to do this. He had to lie and not be authentic to himself, and that's not it. So it's sort of my mission to make sure that I talk about it, because I don't want to be in the closet with him. I refuse to be.
I think another point you might want to clarify for people, somebody said this term to me, I was doing an interview with this group at a college last week, and they used the word serial, because I was explaining to them that a lot of these men, when you leave them, they'll go and get married again, and sometimes again and again, even though they're certainly not straight, and even though they know what their secret is, but they'll drag another woman into it because they're serial. Well, they're not murderers, but they're serial marriagers. Serial marriagers, how's that? And we've had, well, for lack of thinking of another term, but a lot of these men have been in marriages multiple times, more than once. And have you run into that experience?
Yes, unfortunately, Bonnie, I'm the third wife.
So
really, if you step back and take a breath and think about it, why would I suspect, if somebody would ask me that, why would I ever suspect that my husband was gay and had interest in men when he'd been married two other times?
Mm-hmm.
Why would I think that?
And I think that's the important key that people have to understand, that what would make us suspect that this is something that's gay? These men can perform sex sometimes, at least at the beginning, or they know how to work their way around in case they can't perform sex, so they're having stress, they're having this, they're having that. You know, but the fact that they're marrying and remarrying, you know, to me really is a scary thought, but I know that it happens a lot to women in our group. The women they marry are second or third wives. And last week when Kristen Calbley was on the show, she was saying how validating it was when her ex-husband's new wife came to her and said, I want to tell you something, he is gay. That, you know, closed her world up for her, because she suffered for so many years not understanding why things went so badly, you know, and she confronted him about being gay, and of course he snapped back at her, why would you even say such a thing? And then we feel a little, you know, guilty when we do that, so we step back from it, you know, we say, okay, I'm sorry. But she had the same thing. And, in fact, like I say, the wife came to her and told her about it. So it would be nice if women could support each other that way and tell other women in the future to do that. Wouldn't you think so? Would you have listened if somebody told you that?
Yes, I actually think I would have. I think that the shield that my particular husband used is that he had no friends. He introduced me to no one. We went nowhere together. He worked 45 minutes to an hour away from where we lived. I think that was his particular strategy, was separation. And, again, I didn't realize that was a red flag to not have friends. And I moved to live with him. I moved from another state. About 6 hours away to live with him, and because he had the more established job, and he, you know, I basically gave up my house and my foundation for him and moved to be with him. But yeah, what I'm saying is he had no friends, and that was his way of dealing with me. And I think a lot of things happen when you have children. He had children and I had children, and we had one child together. You're busy with the minutiae of life. And so things can get away from you, and you can let things go that maybe you wouldn't let go if you were, you know, not so thrown right into the storm of trying to raise someone else's children and live somewhere else and be
the you can get lost in the sea of chaos when you're raising a family and you have other family members. It's easy to deflect the real problem, because when you're in a chaotic state, you know, all the other factors come into being, and that's what you're looking at. you're not looking at the real problems because you don't even know what the real problem is, and they're trying to convince you that all these other problems are the true problems. Would you say that would be true?
That was totally true in my case. I mean, I knew there were problems. I knew, as I say, there was very little physical intimacy and there was very little communication. Of course, not in the very beginning, but later, you know, very early on. You know, once I was moved in and married and unpacked, everything became came to the forefront of being, you know, being ignored and just being there, as I know now, to raise the children and run businesses and allow him to work so he could progress in his career.
Mm-hmm.
That was my purpose.
When you first met him, did anything seem off to you? Because I'm always asking women, were there any red flags waving that maybe you thought about, only because I want to give them hints on what to avoid on their next relationship?
When my particular relationship, everything went too fast.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, a very short period of time before we got married. I think
mm-hmm.
the other thing is when you live in separate places, I think that's a very cautionary tale. You need to slow it down even more if you're not with them a lot of time. I think things can be hidden. Even from where we lived, he worked 45 minutes away. That's not necessarily a red flag as much as the fact that it's just more opportunity for him to compartmentalize his life, if that makes any sense, and keep
totally.
Things separate. Yeah, keep things
mm-hmm.
separate. So there were a few things. My big smoke screen or thing that confused me is my husband's second wife passed away. So when the behaviors were odd or off, for something I might have been able to really anchor into, I thought it was that. So that was his smoke screen. I'm not saying maybe that wasn't planned, but that was the smoke screen he could hide behind, because if he was emotionally remote or he was unavailable, I thought he was still in love with his wife he lost, and that was a big thing that happened in my particular marriage.
So what are some of the exercises that women can do when they're going through a lot of, you know, physical strain? You know, can you talk a little bit about what Tai Chi does, what yoga does for women?
Sure. One of the very those practices ground you in the present moment. They literally are moving meditations. So you move as you breathe, and it keeps you right there. You're not thinking about and being anxious about the future, nor are you depressed about the past. It keeps you right there where you should be. And it's a skill that you can take off that yoga mat, for example, out into the world. So it's a basis of sort of like a built-in protection from too much stress. It helps you balance.
Mm-hmm.
And balance is a very key theme in my life. And what those practices and even health coaching has brought to me is just bringing that balance in life. Because when you're married to a gay man, your life is out of control. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you do or what you say. So you need those practices to help balance you and ground you.
Pamela, let me ask you this. Does it matter what age you are? Let's say you have women who are in their 40s or 50s who aren't in very good physical health and who've never done these exercises before. Are they able still to do this?
Every human being who has a soul and the ability to breathe can practice. That's one reason I've sought out learning therapeutic yoga, because mm-hmm. it is very still and quiet. It's a little bit physical, but it's also about pure relaxation, because what we need more than anything in this juncture of our, this highly difficult juncture of our lives, is we need the ability to relax. So yes, it is accessible to everyone. Even if it's not, other things are that can be. One of my very profound teachers taught me that yoga is really just the state of union. It's the state of being yourself. So you could be out in nature taking a walk, and literally that would be a practice of yoga. You could be sitting with a ritual of tea, breathing and clearing your mind and drawing in calmness, and that would be the practice of yoga. So it's not all about the physical. It's inclusive to everyone.
One of the wonderful things that you did at our last healing weekend in Virginia was that we kind of ended the program with you doing a relaxation exercise.
Mm-hmm.
And it had been a pretty, I won't say stressful, but emotionally charged weekend, because when
sure.
you have a bunch of women together telling their stories and bringing up, you know, cutting up in the wounds and scars and taking themselves back to that time because they need to get it out. And, you know, people were pretty raw after that. And yet when you did your, you know, meditation exercises, it was so effective in kind of grounding you. And I guess maybe it's that, I don't know if that's the right word, but bringing you back to, you know, where you need to be instead of being out there and thinking about negative thoughts. It kind of brings you right back into your positive thoughts. Would you say that's an accurate description?
Yes, I love that description. I think that that's so true, and that so resonates when people can stop and feel their own authenticity and feel their own truth.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, it allows the positive to be the basis. I think you said it beautifully, and it really sends the negative away. I don't want to say blocking, because blocking takes a lot of energy for you to block out. It's just that it falls away, the negative falls away.
And these are exercises and, you know, things that you can do that are relatively easy and cause, I mean, for women who are all over the place, you know, you don't have to be in a special setting. You can be in your own home. You can be in your own room, you know, to do these kind of breathing exercises and meditation exercises. When you're doing
sure.
Your coaching, Pamela, do you do coaching by Skype also?
Yes. You know, a lot of people don't realize that you just, most coaching is done over the phone, but absolutely can be done on Skype. You can be anywhere in the world or in the country and have that connection. And the phone allows you a bit of security that you can let down your guard for. I would say you can be in your own home and you can be yourself, your true self, and open up and explore, because health coaching is about finding the right solutions for that particular person, the right system and the right support and the right accountability to help that person on their particular journey. So a lot of times we focus on looking for answers outside of ourselves, but really the answers are within.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm certainly also happy to share with you just a couple of things you can do that aren't specifically like yoga or anything like that. You can do little exercises you can do to help calm yourself and center yourself. Would that be useful?
Definitely.
Okay. So I call these just very simple self-care rituals.
Mm-hmm.
And to begin with, you can just be authentic with how you feel. Let's say you come home at the end of the day. If you don't feel afraid or you feel negative, it's better to go through that experience, go through that feeling, and then let it go. Another thing is to ban the word should. I should have done this, or I should have known my husband was gay, or I should do this, that, or the other thing. Just to get rid of the should. You're right where you're supposed to be, and you're mm-hmm. doing the best you can. And letting go of what other people may think, that's not important. It's only important what you think about your situation, about your life, about your feelings.
I think that's one of our problems, is that we're so consumed with what people are going to think about us. What will people mm-hmm. say? How will people treat us? You know, if you can't treat yourself good, don't worry about what others are going to treat you like. I mean, because that's not part of healing. Healing is recognizing your worth and what you deserve to get, finally, right?
Absolutely.
Am I saying that?
Yeah, and I mean, as you've talked about so many times about us being mainly caretakers and in the caretaker role, it's so important to simply take care of yourself. And that may come with great difficulty for us, but that's the foundation we need to set.
Mm-hmm.
We can also create an anchor. We can create an anchoring mantra. I'm just going to give you a couple things that you say to yourself when things get really tough. Something that's a statement that really resonates with you. So, stay the course. I'm in charge. All is well. These things you can internally say, and you can breathe, and those positive thoughts will become reality versus, as you said, when you don't, you want to keep the positive so we can lose the negative. And that's
mm-hmm.
very, very important. Yeah. Very much.
So,
go ahead. Women,
when you're coaching them, can you go through these different exercises with them? They can watch you do it if you have Skype, see what steps to take.
Yeah, we do experiential exercises, so we might learn new ways of coping and new ways of discovering what works for each individual person. And then we actually do an experiential type of exercise so they can experience it in their body, in their mind, and even in their spirit. So, yes, that's a very, very important thing that we do as health coaches.
So I feel really a little bad because I know that people are going to want to reach you, and I just want to make it really clear that Pamela's website's in the process of being finished up. It's been redeveloped, you know, to try to work with women in our situation. So Pamela really wanted to take the time to make sure she had the links in there for women who have a gay husbands, bi husbands, trans husbands who are going through this kind of stress. And she can specialize with you, but unfortunately, the website won't be up for another week or two. But if you would like to read it, because it will be beautiful, I've seen copies of, you know, how things may look or heard about them, you know, just let me know at bondk@aol.com. And as soon as her website is launched, you know, then you can go there, and it's going to be interactive, right, Pamela?
Absolutely. In the beginning, I mean, as I progress, I'm going to be having videos on there. It's interactive as far as your ability to schedule an appointment or right away, right on the website, get emails from me, possibly sign up for on my email list. I have a free ebook and things like that. As I progress, I'm going to be doing videos, you know, get to know you type of videos so you know who I am and
mm-hmm.
that sort of thing. Absolutely. And, of course, you can reach me through Bonnie or, you know, you can – the website will be there and it'll be up very soon. And my email can be on Bonnie's website as well as my phone number as
mm-hmm.
well. So there's many ways to get in touch. Very many.
Yeah. I'll certainly post in our newsletter as soon as the website comes out. But in the meantime, if you need to get in touch with Pamela, you know, you're welcome to write to her at her email. Can you give them your email address?
Sure, it's easy. My business is Balance with Pamela. So it's just balancewithpamela@gmail.com.
Okay, that sounds great. And you said that you would kind of do a meditation exercise for us?
Absolutely. I just want to leave you with one last thing. Yeah, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No,
yeah,
I just want to leave you
with one last self-care thing you can do right before we launch into the meditation is sit and move out in nature. And we're just going to lead right into this meditation with that.
Mm-hmm.
So let's close our eyes. Perhaps, even though I know it's evening, it's nighttime, imagine you can feel the sun on the backs of your eyelids. And sometimes we can perceive that the pink light right there, even if our eyes are closed, we're going to drink in our breath. Again, we make sure we check in and we make sure we're sitting comfortably, feeling the chair beneath us. Perhaps our feet are grounded on the earth. Again, if you feel comfortable, close your eyes. Feel as if you're being held by the earth, held in its embrace. And as you inhale, let's draw in peace. And as the breath turns, as you exhale, release all that no longer serves. Again, we inhale wholeness, health, holiness. All of these words derive from the same root, healing. No one or not anything can take away the essential nature that is you. Journey with the beautiful breath, the rise and fall of your breath. Inhaling peace. Exhaling all that no longer serves you. Feel the relaxation happening from the top of your head to the tips of your fingertips, to the tips of your toes. Know that truly all is well, and this too shall pass. Your breath is always available to you in every moment, in every place. Let's gently bring our hands over our heart. Let's take two more beautiful breaths. This is another way you can anchor to yourself, placing your hands over your heart and breathe. And ever so slowly, when you feel ready, you can open your eyes, gaze down at the earth, and bring your awareness back into the space. How do you feel, Bonnie?
I am so relaxed, Pamela. I really am.
Good.
I feel so good. You know, it reminded me of that day last year when I felt so good after going through this exercise with you. And these are things that women can do at home. Once you learn how to do them, you can do them on your own at the end of the day. You know, and there's all kinds of lessons that Pamela can help you with. And that's why when you want to do health coaching encompasses the emotional and the physical aspects of your recovery. because we all have the emotional aspects to go through, and that's why people have therapists. Coaching is in therapy. Coaching is helping you move to the next stage of your life by facing what your facts are now. And, you know, you don't have to do a total makeover or a total do-over. Am I correct?
Absolutely. It's just letting you go through the journey you're on, having that right support, having the accountability. I'm like the guide on a raft. It's your journey. I'm helping light the way. I'm keeping you on track. But it's really your journey, and you're looking for your answers to heal, and that's what's important. But it's all intertwined: health, your life, your relationships, your marriage, your finances, your spirituality, your community. Everything is intertwined, and so as we improve in one area, everything improves, and you can live your best life.
Yeah. So I think I really appreciate it. Pamela, could you just say a couple of words about the healing weekend you attended last year? And do you think that you benefited from that?
Oh, I benefited so much from being able to speak and be inhabiting within a group of people who understand exactly what I'm saying without me explaining. When I speak to anyone else and try to explain about having a gay husband, they don't truly understand the ramifications of that, really how deeply wounded you can be once you realize that that's what's going on. But when you're in a group of like-minded people, they become your tribe, your community, and it's just such an amazing level of support that you gain. You can make friends. It's just so important. It was truly a turning point for me in my journey, and I can't believe it's been a year because so much has happened, but I'm not done either. So I'm so looking forward to
the process. Process that takes a long time. I don't think people realize this. It's not like you just step away and say, okay, it's over and I'm healed. No, it's over and now you have to start to heal. And healing can take a long time. It can take a year, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years. There's no time limit on healing, and nobody has the right to rush you through it, because this is one of the problems people say, oh, you're not over that yet. No, it's not that simple at all. And as straight wives, that's something that we've learned, that it's not easy to do it. But thanks to help like Pamela's been giving us, I mean, certainly anything that can take some stress off of you and make you feel better for the day, that's something worthwhile doing. And these exercises are very short term, right?
Absolutely. And if we could increase the patience we have with ourselves and the compassion we have toward ourselves, that's where the healing truly lives, in that compassion. We're very easy to give it out, but we don't give it and keep it for ourselves. So I'm very much looking forward to going to the healing weekend again and again, because I think there's so much to be gained from it.
For sure. So, Pamela, thank you so much for being the guest. This hour really ran through quickly. And we're really looking forward to having you back here in a couple of months once your website's all up, and we'll do some more exercises and get people to know Pamela Adams Gifford. And thank you so much. You know I love you.
I love you too, Bonnie, and thank you. Thank you for listening, and it's been wonderful.
Wow, it was wonderful. You were wonderful.
Thank you.
All right, everybody, have a wonderful week. Practice some of these exercises at the end of the stressful day. You're going to feel so much better. And we'll be back next week. Good night, everyone.
Namaste.
Good night, Pamela.
Good night.
Okay. Good night.